A call to live, a call to die, a call to spend your life for Jesus, here and around the world till he returns. These are the stories and conversations about God's mission and the people dedicating their life to it. I'm your host, Paul Aiken, Provost and Professor of Missions at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. This is Amazon to the Himalayas. This is Amazon to the Himalayas podcast. I'm your host, Paul Aiken. In today's episode, we're going to be learning about Radical. Radical is a Christian mission organization, and they exist to serve the church by equipping Christians to follow and make Jesus known in their neighborhoods and among the nations. They work to awaken and mobilize the church in places where the gospel is already accessible, and also to advance the gospel and plant the church where access is limited. I'm talking today with my mentor, former boss, and most importantly, my good friend, David Platt, who is the president of Radical. David's a pastor in Northern Virginia at McLean Bible Church. He's also the founder and chairman of Radical. He's married to Heather and a father of six. Our family loves the Platt family and considers them dear friends at every level. And personally, I'm very grateful for David, for his influence, his impact in my life, and I've been looking forward to this conversation. David, welcome to the podcast.
Bro, that is 100% mutual, just on every level. I thank God for you, your family. I thank God for the pure joy of friendship and co-laboring together that we've been able to do and still do from a distance in the gospel. So, man, it's great to be a part of this.
Well, thanks for being here. You know, a lot of people know David Platt, and immediately the first thing that comes to mind is a passion for the Great Commission, and missions is kind of your heartbeat. So I would love for you just to share with our audience, how did that come to be? Is that something that was kind of always in your life? How did David Platt become so passionate about the Great Commission?
I would say two particular moments. One, in college, when I was at a conference and at like a breakout session, there's probably 10 other people in the room, maybe. And sitting down with Jeff Lewis was leading this breakout, and he just opened up the Bible and from Genesis to Revelation walked through God's passion for his own glory among all the nations, showing that this is the story of God in Scripture. And I just remember I'd been a Christian, I mean, since I was, as best as I can tell, since I was 6 years old, but I'd never seen, heard this picture in Scripture, and my jaw was on the ground. I just remember sitting there, everybody got up to kind of leave, and I just sat there like, whoa, this changes everything. If God is zealous for his own glory among all the nations, and that's the whole story of history, then that needs to be the story of my life. Like, how do I live with zeal for God's glory among all the nations? So that's the first moment. And I remember that night, even at the conference, Jeff led a prayer for unreached people, Indo-Tibetan people. It was the first time I'd ever prayed for unreached people in my life. And I just remember getting together with a group of guys, we're on our faces, like pleading for these people who never heard the gospel. I'd never even heard that concept, at least that I can remember. My trajectory started going toward, I need to be a missionary. I need to move to another nation for the spread of the gospel. This is what God is all about, and there's unreached people. And so that led to the second moment when I was in seminary, and Jerry Rankin, who was leading IMB at that time, came to preach in chapel. I was asked to take him to breakfast. I told Heather the night before, hey, I'm taking Dr. Rankin, who leads the International Mission Board, to breakfast. I'm going to tell him we're ready to go overseas. Is that okay with you? And she was like, yeah, that's okay with me. So we prayed. I go off to breakfast. As soon as we sit down, I just poured out my heart to Dr. Rankin. I see the need in the world. I see what God's passionate about in his word. My wife and I are ready to go. And he looks back at me and for about 60 seconds encourages me in what I just said. And then the rest of breakfast talks to me about the need for pastors to shepherd churches where the gospel has gone, for the spread of the gospel where it hasn't gone. And I remember being super confused at that point. I go home and Heather's like, how did it go? And I'm like, I think the president of the IMB just talked me out of becoming a missionary. And I don't know why. Like, and she's like, why? Yeah. I felt almost disappointed, like I'd blown a job interview or something. But I'm so thankful for that conversation with Dr. Rankin that day, because he put a category in my mind that I don't think was there before. And the category is, there's a type of person who's passionate about the spread of the gospel among all the nations, but who doesn't necessarily become a missionary. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized, well, of course there's that category. It's called a Christian. Like, every follower of Jesus has the Spirit of Christ in us. The Spirit of Christ wants the nations for Christ, is zealous for the spread of the gospel of the nations. So if I'm a follower of Jesus, then I live with zeal for the spread of the gospel among all the nations. That's not just for missionaries. That's for every follower of Jesus. Those two turning points in my life kind of set the trajectory. And obviously that's led me in different ways to pastor a church, to lead the IMB at one point, to go back to pastoring and leading Radical. At different points along the way to ask, is it time for me to take a one-way ticket to another part of the world? God hasn't, as best as I can tell, called me to do that to this point. But all of that is driven by zeal for the spread of the gospel among all the nations. But I really think that is for every follower of Jesus.
That's good. I appreciate you sharing some of that backstory. You know, I think it was well over a decade ago, close to maybe 15 years now, that you wrote an orange book called Radical. And many people are aware of that book. But what many people may not know is that kind of an organization was birthed out of that book. And so really, that's what I want to hear more about, even, you know, today in our interview. Can you tell us some about Radical, the organization, like some of the history, some of the background? Why did it get started? What was the original goal and purpose of the organization?
The original goal and even naming the organization. So it was different. The original name, it was just, okay, people start reading this book and people start saying, okay, yeah, how do we take back our faith in the American dream, make disciples of the nations, give our life to that? And so the original name of the organization was Disciple Making International. And a good friend of mine was like, well, that's your first problem, that's your name. So anyway, which I still maintain, I mean, it was really clear what we wanted to be about, but we ended up changing it to Radical. And it became basically like a resource ministry to help Christians, help mobilize Christians for the spread of the gospel through our lives, right where we live, and then to the ends of the earth. And that's what it was for a long time, for many years. Just picture, I mean, all kinds of different pastors might have resource ministries. But that's where we had some fundamental changes a few years ago, where we said, okay, we really don't want this to be a resource ministry of David Platt. Like, yeah, we want to steward resources that can be helpful, that we wanted to be a lot broader than David Platt, and we wanted to be focused on mobilizing the church around the world to spread the gospel right where they live and to people who've never heard it. And so we made some major changes 4 or 5 years ago in ways that are still morphing today as we expand. And it's been so, so exciting. Like, I don't want this ministry to be about David Platt. I want it to be about the church and how can we serve and help the church spread the gospel from our neighborhoods to the nations, and particularly those who are unreached.
Yeah, that's good. I think some of our listeners may be aware of, you know, Radical, the organization, kind of some of the things that you guys are involved in. But I think you're right. Over the last number of years, many people may have saw it as a resource ministry. I would love for you to talk a little bit about Radical today. What do things look like today? What are the primary initiatives, the goals, the things that you're working on? How big is the team? All those kinds of things.
So what we're doing, big picture, is how can we come alongside the church with resources, through events, through different things? How can we mobilize the church to open our eyes to who we are in Christ, the incredible purpose we have in this world to make our lives count by spreading the gospel among all the nations, starting right where we live? And so we do a lot, just and not just in the United States. Like, we want to look at the church broadly, like the wherever the gospel has gone, how can we come alongside the church in different ways there? So there's different events, for example, that we'll do this year with large gatherings of younger followers of Jesus, specifically in South Africa, in Indonesia, in Nepal. So trying to mobilize the church around the world. And then, so then we have a particular initiative, we call it Urgent. It's just a fundamental part of Radical now, though, that is focused on identifying indigenous brothers and sisters in what we call red zones in unreached parts of the world, and finding really good, strong gospel work that's happening, church planting work that's happening in really hard to reach places. We created a whole back end to create a way, an avenue for people to be able to give to those brothers and sisters. We see a world where even when we give to missions, we're still giving mostly, on a whole, broadly in the church, to work in places where the gospel has gone. We want to change that imbalance and help create avenues, but that's not easy to do. Like, how do you get money? How do you find really awesome work by indigenous brothers and sisters in Yemen or in North Korea or in Somalia, and how do you get funds to them in ways that are healthy? So that's what we've done to create. So we have a whole global team spread out around the world that's identifying those relationships, partnerships, cultivating those partnerships in ways that are then fueling work that's happening on the front lines of unreached people. And then we've started an avenue for people who God does call to leave their jobs and move for the spread of the gospel to some of those red places in the world, unreached places, to do training. So we started a training center in the heart of the unreached, kind of in the middle of the unreached world geographically, where we've got brothers and sisters right now who are being trained up over a 9-month program that is equipping them biblically, theologically, cross-culturally, how to learn language, how to learn culture, how to spread the gospel among people who've never heard it. And over the course of that process, well, we can talk more about that if that'd be helpful, but people get connected with opportunities around the world and but trained in the process. So Radical is now kind of is doing all of that, all toward the end of how can we best help the church where the gospel has gone, whether it's praying and giving or going to places where the gospel hasn't gone.
That's great. I appreciate you sharing that. You know, one of the things that's kind of a big question for any Christian organization is how do you partner with the local church? What is the role of the local church within your organization? And I appreciate you kind of led very strongly, even at the start, when you talked about Radical Today, talking about mobilizing churches. Can you talk some about what that looks like? How are you guys engaged with local churches? How do you come alongside? Yeah, what does that look like for Radical?
That's like central to all we're doing, just in all the things I just mentioned. So coming alongside local churches to help open eyes, to see God's great glory, to see the great need among the nations, and to think through how can your church play a part in the spread of the gospel. So even take, for example, the giving initiative that I was talking about with Urgent. That's us coming to local churches saying, hey, as the Lord leads you to give, like here's an avenue among many, Big K Kingdom, but among many avenues, here's one where you, your church can be connected with now. And then on the ground, it's all about disciple making and church planting and multiplying churches. So it's all focused on church overseas. And then when I think about our training center, nobody comes to our training center without being sent out from a local church. So we walk through a process. Like just the other day, I was on a Zoom call with the next class that's coming to our training center. And it wasn't just the class on that Zoom call. It was those who were going out, and it was either the senior pastor or one of the pastors from that church who was on that call with them. They're an integral part of the whole process of them going. We're continually in conversation with them. We're not ascending organization on many levels, but church is the primary sender. And so we are pointing people to their church. So there's people who are going through this training program right now who are in communication with their church, discerning with their church, and we're helping in this process, but where is God leading them to go? And so, I mean, I was talking with somebody last week, they don't have a sending church that would be sending them out right now. And it's like, well, that's training center's not for you at this point. Like that's first step is you need to get plugged into a local church. So all that to say, we want to serve, come alongside, build up, plant, be a part of helping see churches planted, everything kind of revolving around the local church.
Yeah, that's great. Master of Divinity students who prepare for ministry on Southern Seminary's campus can save up to $1,800 each semester in tuition. Residential MDiv students now only pay for the first 9 credit hours a semester and can take up to 15 hours at no additional cost. Southern Seminary is making it more affordable than ever to prepare for a lifetime of faithfulness. Learn more at sbts.edu/newmdiv. I appreciate you mentioned kind of the newer training emphasis and focus. I would love to hear maybe more specifically, you talk a little bit about what that training looks like. You kind of gave an idea kind of theologically, missiologically, cross-culturally, 9 months, but would love to hear more about kind of what that entails. And then maybe a bigger, more macro question. I'm interviewing you from a theological seminary where more formal theological training takes place. I would love to hear just you talk about how does Radical think about the value of theological training for potential future missionaries? Is that a help? Is that a hindrance? How do you guys think through that?
Well, I think it's certainly helpful. The training center that we have, so it's in Western Asia, and we intentionally put it in a place where it's just surrounded by unreached people, but it's, by God's grace, a unique place that provides opportunity for this kind of training in a more safe, secure setting, but still surrounded by unreached people, but involving cross-cultural learning, language acquisition. And so what will happen is an individual or a couple or a family, like we've got all the above, including, I mean, one family with 6 kids, that I was just over there a couple of weeks ago and sitting around their home with them. They go through intentional, biblical, theological, missiological, ecclesiological, just, okay, what's the mission of God in his word, importance of the church, disciple making, biblical, theological foundations for that. And then on top of that, like the cross-cultural language acquisition. So we walk through a process of how to learn language. So they will, over the course of that 9 months, they'll learn a particular language and they'll be involved in doing ministry with locals in the city there, but they're in the process of learning how to learn a language, because after that 9 months, they're going to be going somewhere else where they're going to start language learning. And we want them to have the tools for how to learn language. That's a big part of the program that we have. And all this with like collective centuries worth of experience on the field and our staff there, who's pouring into these individuals and couples and families and helping prepare them as they're experiencing all that involved in a cross-cultural setting, helping them navigate that, helping them learn to do ministry and balance life and all kinds of other things in a setting where they have a lot of support in preparation for then going into a setting where they're going to have less support than that, but then helping them see what's going to be most important and how, here's the skills, the tools in your toolbox to have. Now, to connect that with theological training that's happening where you are and many different places, theological training is extremely valuable. The thing I would add to that, to nuance it a little bit, is in different ways for different roles that people have on the field. So I think about somebody who's going to be a primary, like their job is going to be church planting. I think that person needs biblical, theological, strong biblical, theological, missiological, ecclesiological foundations for the work they're doing and training toward that end, extensive training toward that end. Or I think about somebody in, well, the church family that I'm a part of who gets a job transfer to the Middle East. Well, that person, like they're going as a job. So I don't think, okay, don't take the job until you go get X number of years of theological training. I hope that what they're getting in our local church and all that we're doing intentionally to train them in disciple making is going to be helpful. We want to provide like what kind of training is most helpful for that person to, as they go, to have biblical theological foundations and even how to do cross-cultural disciple making. And so that's where I think radical, and I think seminaries, for example, are thinking through this as well. How can we best equip all kinds of people to do all kinds of different things? So that's where I would be hesitant. Sometimes people say, well, if you're going to go overseas as a missionary, you need to have X amount of theological training. It's like, well, it depends, like what you're going overseas to do. If you're going overseas to work in this business and be a part of a church planting team, that's going to be different than going overseas to be the primary person leading that church planting team and leading out in church planting as your vocation. I mean, all need basic biblical qualifications. But then beyond that, I think we just need to think wisely through how we can best train up an army at all kinds of different levels to do this work around the world.
Yeah, that's really good. I appreciate the way you kind of laid that out. I think the way that I kind of think through that would be maybe the depth and the extent of your theological training would be tailored to whatever role capacity you're going to be playing out on the field. And I think that's a great response. And that makes perfect sense to me.
And here's, if I could add one real quick thing there that I think is really important, that I think we need to think about a lot, especially in kind of mission world, is, I mean, we're talking about 3.2 billion people who have little to no knowledge of the gospel. The answer for how to get the gospel to them is not to send just a few hundred or thousand, a few thousand more fully trained missionaries in the ways that we oftentimes think. I think the answer is yes, that and hundreds of thousands, if not millions of spirit-filled followers of Jesus who are just scattering. So among the nations in different ways through their jobs or through school or in their retirement, like to get the gospel to those who've never heard it. We don't need to be so focused on a small slither of the church that oftentimes when we talk about mission, I think many people in our churches just kind of excuse themselves. They don't see themselves as that. So it's like, well, this, I'm not a part of this. But there's so many other ways to be a part of this. I think even, and it's not a perfect analogy, but Acts 13 and Acts 8, like Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas, these are particularly gifted brothers who the Lord sends out, two of them from Antioch. When I think about Acts 8, though, I think about the whole church scattering from Jerusalem into Judea and Samaria and proclaiming the word wherever they went. Let's fuel that kind of movement in the church where we're just, that's what it means to be a Christian. We're disciple makers of the nations. We're all running after the world with the gospel, starting right where we live. And I think that's the kind of mindset we need if we're going to be serious about reaching 3 billion people who've never heard the gospel.
Yeah, I mean, in many ways, that's the model that we've taken here in North America, right? I mean, in your church, not every person has high level of theological training, but every person is a Christian filled with the Spirit. They've been discipled. And so they're able to go into their workplace, into their neighborhoods, into their communities to be salt and light, to be a witness for Christ. So the same thing would be true as we think internationally as well. Yes. I think that's a good point.
Yes.
A lot of, you know, Christian organizations, mission organizations have kind of a niche that they tend to focus on. I know you guys are kind of getting up to speed with kind of training and getting some of these people out, and you're not necessarily sending them, but you're doing it in partnership with local churches. So can you talk some about the type of work that, you know, missionaries that are trained by Radical, some of the types of work that they're doing out in the field? Is there a particular niche or is it pretty broad in terms of scope?
I would say it's pretty focused in the sense that, like, our training center. So that is talking about this smaller slither of people, like a segment of people that are going to have more primary responsibility in leading out and planting churches and strengthening healthy churches. But really, I mean, they're going to places. Everybody who's at our training center has an eye toward going to a place that's totally unreached by the gospel or at some level very unreached and being a part of doing evangelism there, leading people to Jesus, gathering together in a church, just the whole missionary task from start to finish, training up leaders for those churches and sending out missionaries from those churches. That's where they're focused. So they're not training to go to places where the gospel has already gone. So what happens during that 9 months is we help introduce them. Some of them already kind of have a trajectory. They know a team they might be going to serve with or a ministry organization that they're already connected with that's helping them navigate where to land on the field. We'll introduce them to different organizations along the way during that 9 months as well. So we'll have teams from different parts of the world who will come in, share about work that's being done. And then, so I mean, I think about one, well, I've got multiple people come to my mind right now who are in our training center who over the last 9 months, when somebody came in, shared about the work that's happening in this part of Central Asia or this part of Southeast Asia, and now they're going to join one of those teams to be a part of that work in that place. We kind of help them navigate that, but the focus is on pioneer evangelism and church planting.
That's great. And you sit in a unique spot where you get to kind of see, you mentioned just several weeks ago, kind of being on the ground with some of the folks that you're training, you get to kind of see, hear, interact with people who are doing things around the world. Next question, you know, I'm sure you could share more, but we don't have tons of time to share everything. But could you just maybe over the last 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, something that you've heard from somebody that you guys have trained and then sent out or that's out serving that's particularly encouraging to you? Just some good news about what God's doing around the world.
Well, the thing is, this is our first training class.
Okay.
We've not actually sent anybody out. I mean, there's stories of people who come to know Jesus as they've been doing ministry among locals there, but we don't have like some of those stories because they've actually not gone out yet. But I can tell you, like, well, and I'll try to summarize the work that I was talking about earlier through Urgent that's happening. And I mean, just brothers and sisters being built up and strengthened in the middle of persecution in Yemen and the gospel spreading amidst such hard challenges. When I think about Iran and what's happening there, like underground, I'm trying to remember my mind right now, what am I allowed to say and not allowed?
Sure.
Let me just start to speak a little more generally now that I've started throwing out some countries. But Central Asia, places where pastors are being trained, where as refugees scatter from particular countries that we see in the headlines all the time, we've got disciple-making emphases happening among those refugees, and they're connecting with brothers and sisters in Christ back in their country to help fuel disciple-making and church planting there. I think about businesses. We've got multiple countries right now where we're helping pastors develop micro businesses that provide sustainable salaries for them. And then a whole process developed where as they raise up church planters, we have ways to support those new church planters with those micro businesses in ways that are able to support them financially. And as a result, that just bivocational ministry happening as the church is spreading in different places in Southeast Asia. I think about in North Africa, a couple of different pictures of pastor training that's happening, and just, I mean, unreached people being reached with the gospel for the first time. When I look at these reports that we get from urgent workers around the world, it's just awesome. So these are brothers and sisters on the front lines who are indigenous to those places, who already have language and culture. So that's where, I mean, obviously we've got a training center focused on raising up people to learn language and culture. And at the same time, let's wisely come alongside those who already have language and culture in these places and are reaching very near culture people with the gospel. So story after story of how that's happening around the world. I wish I was more up to speed at this moment on which exact countries I could tell you about. But anyway, I would just say to anybody listening to this, like, be encouraged. God is at work. The gospel is spreading on the front lines of unreached people. And you and I today have more opportunities to be a part of that than ever before in history. With travel and technology and connection and globalization in the marketplace, we have so many opportunities to be a part of getting the gospel to those who've never heard it, if we'll steward these opportunities. It's happening. It's there for us to do. The question is, are we going to step into it with to the full, steward this opportunity we have in our in this time and place we're living in.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. You know, I love kind of hearing stories about things that are happening around the world, but even stories about how people are being called out. And so I didn't ask you to do this, so I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, but maybe even like people who have jumped into your training, are there any, I mean, you mentioned a moment ago, a family with six kids. I mean, can you talk a little bit on the, I love hearing stories on the front end about how people are living their lives and then God kind of pulls them out of this context and puts them in this context to do his work. Can you talk maybe a little bit about what some of that looks like with some of the people that are coming into your training?
Yes, my heart's just overflowing as I think about this family in particular. And it's so great. Like each one of the people in this training center, the different story of how God has raised them up, called them out, sent them out. But this family in particular, I'll speak in some generalities here as well, but he was approaching retirement. Military-wise, just extremely gifted, and started looking for, okay, what's going to be this next phase in our life with our six kids? And as they started to pray through things, it was actually during COVID when my family and I started doing some family worship, like Facebook Live kind of thing, and their family started joining in. And when I look back at those days, it was like trying to corral our kids to do family worship and hoping everything went okay as other people are watching. This family got connected with our family through that and then started tracking with different things that were happening in Radical. And because they have a lot of kids, they were actually being kind of told or kind of pushed back in some different parts of the mission world for understandable reasons that different organizations come to those conclusions when looking at those things. But they got connected with Radical, heard about the training center. He actually heard about it when he was at a job interview for something else that he was thinking about doing. His wife said, we need to look at this. They start exploring. We start getting to know them and their family. They left behind, sold their house, their dog, who they love. I mean, they're showing me this picture, this dog that they love that they were able to give to someone else, and they left everything behind. They're now living in the heart of the unreached in Western Asia, and they've already gotten connected. They know kind of their next place. So they're all learning the language that they're going to learn for this next place. And just to see their zeal and happiness, like their joy in doing this as a family and giving their lives to spread the gospel among people who've never heard it. And I mean, it was pure joy. Just imagine sitting around that table with eight people and just seeing, not that it's easy. Like I don't want to give an unhelpful or inaccurate picture. It's not easy. There's all kinds of challenges that they have walked through and are walking through, will walk through, but to see the joy of Jesus in them, as they're saying, this is what we want our lives to count for. So anyway, that's just one picture. I think another one real quick, somebody who a couple of years ago was a part of Secret Church, just attending Secret Church and hearing about the nation. nations. And as a result of hearing about the nations through Secret Church, this one night event we do once a year, it's actually coming up the end of April. He was a part of it. He gets vision picture of what's happening around the world that he can be a part of. And fast forward a couple of years later, he's at this training center. And obviously he's walked through a whole process with his church, like everybody else has, as we talked about, to get there. But it was really encouraging to see somebody who, through just that event, the Lord changed the trajectory of their life.
Praise the Lord, man. I love hearing those kinds of stories. Thanks for sharing that.
Master of Divinity students can save over $1,800 each semester by training for ministry on the Southern Seminary campus. Join us for our next Southern Seminary Preview Day to learn how the Master of Divinity will prepare you for a lifetime of faithfulness. Register today at sbts.edu/preview.
I want to transition to kind of some lightning round questions. Obviously, you have a passion for mission. Favorite missionary biography?
Definitely. Oh, all right. To the Golden Shore, Adoniram Arm Judson is what I was going to say, definitely. But then In the Shadow of the Almighty with Jim Elliot, that was probably the first one that I read that had a massive impact in my life. So I'd put both of them up there.
Yeah, those are great. The next question is a fill-in-the-blank question. You can kind of fill in the blank however you want. You're talking about your organization, Radical. The greatest challenge facing Radical today is blank.
Well, we've expanded, we've grown. I think we've got to be really careful to make sure we stay focused. There's all kinds of good things we could do, but to stay focused on, okay, what is, amidst this big world where all kinds of people are doing different things, what's God calling us to do well to serve the church? And as a part of that, I would just add, and I think it's the biggest challenge facing the church and an world where so many people are unreached, is for us to, how do we communicate this picture of God's purpose for our lives in the world in a way that most people don't just immediately excuse themselves from it and say, because I'm not that small segment of people who do that, then that's not really what I'm living for. And I just think we're totally missing out on a limitless number of people filled with the Holy Spirit of God running after the nations, because I think because of the way we oftentimes communicate about mission. So there's a whole nother conversation we can have there, but I think that's a big challenge that we need to come face to face with. We don't just need a few thousand more missionaries. We need hundreds of thousands and millions of Christians who are living for the spread of God's glory among all the nations.
That's good. Last question. Someone's listening right now and says, okay, David, you've convinced me. Like, I love everything that's going on with Radical, whether it's partnership with local churches. If I'm a pastor, I'm somebody who's aspiring to be a missionary and my church is on board. I want to kind of maybe get training with you guys. I love hearing about Urgent and what you guys are doing. I would love to contribute or be a part of that. What would you say? What's their first steps? How do they get involved? What advice, encouragement would you give to them? Direction?
Well, easiest step, radical.net, and specifically just go to contact form, like first thing, and just reach out. And we got a whole team of people who would love to connect. So both on an individual level, or if you're a leader in a local church, certainly as a pastor in a local church, like we've got a whole team that's like focused on how can we help. And so that would be like the first place I would go. And then along the way on radical.net, if you look through, you'll find more information about the training center. If that's something that the Lord is leading you, calling you out, and then that seems like an option that at least would be worth exploring, then I would encourage you to explore that. You can find out all kinds of information there. We regularly have kind of information calls or just individually sit down, talk with you about what that looks like. And then, yeah, the giving platform there that's Urgent, you'll see it on the website, but you can find out more information there. But just, yeah, reach out to us. We'd love to have personal conversation with you.
David, thank you so much for your time, for the conversation today.
Pure joy, bro.
To hear more conversations like this, please subscribe to this podcast. Be sure to follow us on social media. Thanks again for listening to this episode.
Amazon to the Himalayas is brought to you by the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. At Southern Seminary, we're preparing the next wave of missionaries, church planters, Bible translators, and more for a lifetime of faithfulness to the Great Commission. To learn more about how Southern Seminary can prepare you to take the gospel from the Amazon to the Himalayas, visit sbts.edu. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.